Barb, I know that Habakkuk chapter 3 is very special to you. Would you share that with us, why it's so special?
Well, I believe this man Habakkuk was so close to the very heart of God, and he knew that Israel was bound for destruction here. This was a horrible time in the history of Israel. There was so much disobedience going on, and Habakkuk was saying, Lord, you got to do something about this insolence in this land. And yet he knew there was going to be great destruction. I really appreciate what he said in Habakkuk 2:4, Darren, and we alluded to it in the last half hour, but the righteous will live by his faith. And today you need to establish a faith with God, your faith with God, not the pastor's faith with God, not your husband's faith with God, or your wife's faith with God, or your brother's faith with God, or your mother or father's faith with God. You've got to establish your own faith with your father. And here in the third chapter, we see why he had to establish his own faith and why he says it. Darren, here in the 16th verse, he said, I heard. He's hearing already the enemy coming over the hill to destroy Israel. I cannot imagine the fear and the trepidation here. But in verse 16, he says, I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound of my lips, and my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people arise who will invade us. Now, he knows this is going to happen. He's prophesied this. Then he goes on, one of the most beautiful passages in the whole Bible, and this is what happens. After we've written our vision, we've put it on the tablet, and we have done all we can do, then we wait. We wait for it. And he said, do you want to read this?
No, go ahead, because I know you've also written a song about this. You really have this in your heart as a revelation, don't you?
Because I believe we're all going to go through hard times. We're all going to go to the point where, Lord, I can't live another hour, but I don't want to live another hour without you, Lord. And he goes on to say, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines. This is very dismal. That we're not seeing another harvest for food. I mean, we're not going to have any food on the table for our children.
Desperation.
This is, yes. Though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food. Now, the yield of the olive gave them their heat, gave them their oil. And this is what they heated and fixed their food with. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, no more meat to eat. Yet I will exult in the Lord. Now this word EXULT means to dance, to rejoice. And this man saw defeat for his country, and yet he chose to say, I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Where did he get his strength? Not from the economy, not from his government, not from welfare. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places. And Darren, this was a song. This was given to the choir director, and they performed this with voices and stringed instruments. So we know that Israel has many times gone over this little book of Habakkuk. What a gem in the Old Testament. So we need to know that until the goal is reached, until your goal is reached, you have work you've got to do. You do, and not procrastinate. Because remember, life has an expiration date.
You know, one of the things about this chapter 3 that means so much to me, and I know you take the last part of the chapter, but I like the first part. And I'm thinking about when God said, I'm going to make you in my image and likeness, and I want you to operate like I do and take dominion over the earth. But in verse 4, it says, talking about Jesus, his radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and therein is the hiding of his power. I want to tell you, folks, we're going to have to learn that there's power in our hands. And, of course, the Bible talks a lot about hands. It talks about whatever your hands find to do, you know. I mean, go do it. I mean, be a good servant. Be a good worker. But when I think about that and about laying hands on people for healing, for example, or laying hands on yourself, it says therein is the hiding of your power. It's in your hands. It's in your hands to do, and you need to make a decision to get up and go do that.
More than that, though, Darren, I believe what Habakkuk was doing here, he was building up himself and edifying himself through, instead of looking at the dark darkness that was going on around him and looking at the impossible situation, he was going to the very source of power and strength, and that was God himself. And he was saying, his radiance is like the sunshine. God has rays flashing from his hands, and there is the hiding of his power. He was going to a higher power when he had nothing to hold on to in this world. And I believe that, boy, that is such an important lesson for you today, that when there is not, you know, your world, your circumstances look totally impossible, there is nothing to actually grab hold of. You grab hold of God and his power and strength. That's what you can depend on today, God.
Now, let me give you this. If you want confidence, take Hebrews 10:35. You'll hear me give this to a lot of people, but it says, cast not away your confidence, for it has a great reward. Now, how do you do that? You do it with your mouth. You do it by speaking scripture. Don't throw away your confidence and just sit down and moan and groan. Don't procrastinate, but get up and start doing what your own prescription for yourself. Start speaking scripture. Start saying, I have a vision. I mean, it's been delayed, but I have a vision, and it's going to come to pass. Read that Habakkuk chapter 2. Read it to yourself. Read it out loud until it becomes a very part of the fabric of your being, and then you'll start winning. Well, if we go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, it says, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return to you. I believe, Barb, that's, in a sense, is giving. Mm-hmm. We sow seed.
Oh, yes.
And we never know when that harvest is going to come around, except when we need it. It's going to be there, right?
Yes, that's right.
And we've seen that in our family. We've seen it for you and me, and it works in the ministry, too.
Well, and in Matthew 25, we see where the master went away for a long period of time. He gave one servant 5 talents. He gave another servant 2 talents. And he gave one servant 1 talent according to their ability. And see, God is the initiator of this. He gives talents to those who are able to handle it. And when he was gone for a long time, Darren, when he came back, the one who had 5 talents invested and gained 5 more. The one who had 2 invested and gained 2 more. The one who had 1 talent hid it in the ground. How dare we take something that is, you know, like bread, like our bread, our daily eating, what can be multiplied, and we bury it into the ground. When Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread out there, and after many days it will come back. Well, if this evil and wicked servant would have done that, at least even put it in the bank, he would have had a little interest. But by burying it and doing nothing, and boy, is that procrastination at its greatest, nothing came back to him.
But you see, I see here, and the one who had received, this is verse 24, Matthew 25, the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I know that you're a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Mm-hmm. I believe that when we take on the master, we lose every time. Mm-hmm. I believe when we get critical and complaining, we are fixing to lose.
Yes.
And he not only got chewed out, but he lost. And the master said, take it away from him and give it to the one that's going to make some money for me.
That's right. You know, when God tells you to do something, and he tells you to do something in Malachi 3, he tells all of you to do something, and that's to bring your whole tithe into the storehouse. And that is a command of God. And some of you are stubborn and arrogant and insolent in not obeying that. And you are getting yours. And, you know, don't you complain. If you don't obey this word, if you call yourself a believer and don't obey this word, you're just getting what you sowed. I mean, you're reaping what you sowed.
Well, it's a tough message, Barbara, but I'll tell you, God is into returns. He is into profit. He is into increase.
Absolutely. He sure
and,
is.
And this story of the three servants there that received various talents, various levels of talents, and you see, all of us have that. You might say, well, that's an assignment, or that's my calling, or whatever. Well, get up and find out what it is and go do it. And don't think that just, well, if I never know, I'll never be held accountable. No, you can't go with the consent of ignorance and get away with it. God is not going to let you procrastinate and put off the day of you being accountable. He's not going to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
He's
yes.
going to require accountability now or later.
Yes. Well, here in Hebrews 10, and you were just quoting that scripture in Hebrews 10:35, throw not away your confidence. And I would say to you today, you say, I cast not away my confidence. Make it in the first person. I cast not away my confidence, for he has a great reward. Then it goes on, and you have that second verse memorized, Darren. Why don't you quote that?
Well, it says, for you have need of endurance, so when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what was promised. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, I got to tell you, a lot of our acquaintances and friends, and yours too, they want the payoff without paying the price.